time, for such a time as this. We know it's because of your grace and mercy that has brought us through, and that we're living this moment just because of you. And so we thank you. And today, God, as I stand here before you, I thank you for on this day, that on this Sunday, that we remember the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I thank you for all that he accomplished so that I, who am a person of color, Lord God, a person of African-American heritage, Afro-Caribbean heritage, Lord God, can be able to do things in this country, that things were done before me, Lord God, that allowed me to be able to be in the position that I am. I do not take it lightly, Lord God. I knew it is because of those who have gone before and who have fought the good fight. And so I thank you, God, for his life and, as we remember, his contribution. God, we thank you also that he was a Christian, a believer in Jesus Christ. And we thank you for all those who have fought this fight, fight of faith, fight for justice and equality. We thank you on this day, on this Human Relations Sunday, as we celebrate that in the United Methodist Church. And Lord God, as we stand before you, each and every one of us is in need of prayer, in need of hearing from you. So speak now, Lord God, for we're listening. Speak a word of hope and a word of love and a word of peace and a word of joy. Speak, Lord God, for your children are listening. We're listening. And take hold of me, the preacher, and put me under submission to your holy will. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because God, you are our Redeemer, and you are our refuge, and you are our strength, and you are our Savior, and you are our Lord. You are everything, Lord God, that is good and perfect in this world. And so we thank you. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. And today's title is truly fitting, fitting for all of us. My sermon title is, Can Anything Good Come Out of Nazareth? My sermon title comes directly from the text. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Can you imagine? And that has been said about many of us. Can anything good come out of this neighborhood or that neighborhood? Can anything good come out of Jamaica? Can anything good come out of Hicksville? Can anything good come out of wherever we're from, where there has been class and status and so on? Yet God has a tendency to use those who we think nothing can come out of. Thanks be to God for that. Thanks be to God that God looks across boundaries and barriers and man-made boundaries and barriers that we set up to separate us and to divide. God looks across that, and God will yet use us. This reflection that I have here, illustration said, it's titled False Assumptions. He says, all generalizations are false, including this one, yet we keep making them. We create images, graven ones that can't be changed. We dismiss or accept people, products, program, and propaganda according to the labels they come under. We know little about something, and we treat it as though we know everything. Do you get that? We make assumptions. We generalize. We look at folks of different color and different class, and we put them all in the same basket, on either side of the argument. And we don't get to know them for who they are and whose they are. Thanks be to God that Jesus would come for the entire world. That God's word would say, for God so loved the world, that he would send his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but would have the hope of eternal life. Thanks be to God that Jesus became the great equalizer, came to be the great equalizer. Nathanael's first reaction to Philip's claim that he and others found the Messiah was rather disappointing. He would say, Nathanael, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? You see, Nazareth was a very small village. Very small village. In fact, according to archaeological conclusions, it boasted no more than 150 residents. In Matthew 2:23, the young Jesus and the Holy Family have just returned from Egypt, and in this verse he said to settle in Nazareth. We see this in the final verse of Matthew's infancy narrative. The story about Jesus' birth, we see them saying that his imminent parents would settle in Nazareth. And we would find that Nazareth fulfilled a messianic prophecy, which quotes, he will be called a Nazarene. However, no such prophecy is found in the Old Testament or any other source. It was never prophesied by the Old Testament prophets that Jesus would come out of Nazareth. This is how God is. So there are two things you may not know about Jesus' hometown. And the first one is that Nazareth was really an original small town that was not even in the existence they believed before Jesus' birth. And as I said, only about 120 to 150 people lived there. This tiny farming village, high on a hill and far from the main trade routes, was the last place anyone would look for the Messiah of Israel. The last place. Unless they were looking for something other than that, nobody would be looking for the Messiah to come from Nazareth. Because they expected the Messiah to come from a big fancy town, right, with all the chariots and everything. Number two, Isaiah prophesied that the Messiah would come from Nazareth about 600 years before the village existed. Not exactly. They said there that a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from its root will bear fruit. And out of that shoot in Hebrew, the branch, the word for branch, is a netzer. The same root word which means Nazareth. So it comes out of that root word of being the branch of Jesse. But there was no direct prophecy. Yet God would use Jesus. And so here we are. We are looking at Jesus. And Jesus now has just been baptized by John the Baptist. We remember reading, he's coming, and John the Baptist says, here comes the Lamb of God who will take away the sins of the world. Now it was 30 years later that Jesus stepped out of the carpenter's shop in Nazareth and onto the pages of human history. His coming out was a startling event and the beginning of a 3-year journey that would take him to the cross and to the resurrection. When he began the public, visible part of his ministry, he was announced by John. Jesus described himself in John 1:11 that he is the good shepherd who will lay down his life for his sheep. And so we see Jesus coming. And he comes out, and now he's begin to build his team. Every wise leader knows that you need a what? A team. You need a team. Whenever time you see people who want to lead singularly, who everything has to be them and nobody else, and they don't want a team, something is wrong. And there's a difference in wanting a team or just wanting people just to do what you tell them to do. A team means that you want to what? Share with the folks. You want to share. I'll do this and you can do that. Alright? And so Jesus was building a team. And he began that as he steps out. We see that in the gospel that he began to call them into what? To follow him. To follow him. Scripture says, and the next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee, and he found Philip, and he said to him, follow me. Do you know, friends, that Jesus is still calling young men and women and boys and girls and old folks and in-between folks and people my age and everybody still calling us to say what? Follow me. Follow me. And Philip, from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter, would follow Jesus. They followed him before they knew anything about him. You know, there's some folks who want to follow when whatever expedition you're on, they only follow when it's what? When it's a success. But those who will follow and get involved when it's not a success, is those are the ones that you need to what? Really want on your team. Amen? And so here it is, he calls them to follow him, and then here's Nathanael saying, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Jesus heard when he said that. And Jesus said to him, Philip said to Nathanael, come and see. Now friends, those of us who have answered yes to Jesus, have followed him, we are what? We came and we saw. And if truth be told, if I was to take a mic and give it to all of you, if all of you online could speak, you could give me a testimony today of what you have seen when you came to follow Jesus. And don't get caught up in people's stories. People's stories, and they tell you things, what happened, how they found Jesus. We each have a story. And we didn't find Jesus because Jesus wasn't lost. Jesus found us. Right? You can't find someone who isn't lost. But we each have a story, we who are Christian believers, of when we encounter the Savior. When he says, come and see. Come and see. And when Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him, he said to him, here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. He says, listen, Nathanael, there is no deceit. He said exactly what he felt. And then Nathanael asked him, where did you come to know me? And Jesus answered, I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you. And Nathanael realized that this was a man who was divine. He says, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And Jesus answers, do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And my God, those men followed Jesus. And they were imperfect like you and I. And today I want to remind you that God uses crackpots. Imperfect human beings. God has a way of calling us into relationship, no matter who we are, where we're from, what our pedigree is. I am so glad that Jesus does not care about pedigree. Thanks be to God. Because if Jesus did, none of us would be called. Most of us would not be called to serve Jesus. He calls, and we say yes. And that's a short gospel narrative. He says, come and see. And when you come and follow him, guess what? He doesn't say that there will not be trials and tribulations. He doesn't say that everything is going to be perfect. But what he promises us is that he's going to be with us always, even through the end of the ages. That you ups and down, he's going to be with you. It is a wonderful thing to know Jesus. For those of us who are Christian believers, it is a wonderful thing, and we see that through the work of Dr. Martin Luther King, who himself was a, his father was also an ordained clergy, who would be killed in the Ebenezer Baptist Church. His mother would be murdered, and he continually was imprisoned because he first followed Jesus. Dr. King was a Christian before he went into the civil rights movement. He followed Jesus. Before he was in prison in Alabama, he was following Jesus. He said yes to Jesus, yes to his will and his way, and then the Lord would call him as a young man to do something special and unique for his family. God continues to call. There are many in this country who don't know about the great work he has done. But we who are black and brown people know about the work, about how we can go to the front of the bus. And I want to tell folks who come from overseas, if they look like me, if they have my color, they would have been discriminated against just like me. Right? They wouldn't have asked them what country you came from. It is because of the Martin Luther King's sacrifice that many of us who are here reaping the benefits who are black and brown can do that. We thank God for that. And we thank God for people who are white folks who also joined into the civil rights movement. And Jewish folks. We remember those two Jewish young men and that black boy who was hanging in the South. We remember how many of them gave their lives towards this movement because they believed that there was justice through Jesus Christ. And God had called them to do this great work. So God uses us. God may not use you or me to be another Dr. King, but God is using us all the time, calling us to be in relationship with him. Yes, our personal relationship. But once we have had personal relationship with Jesus Christ, we are also then called to go forward and do something. Do something for the least of them. Do something in our communities. Do something in our neighborhoods. To do something for the least of them. To do something for our neighbor, for our brother, for our sister. To do something. To speak justice. You know, they say, there's a saying, I think Dr. King said it, and I think one of our Jewish brothers said, you know, good people die, bad people succeed because good people stay silent. The worst you could have is people who are silent. They never take a side. They never take a side. They just want to fit in and never stand up for justice. But if we are a Christian believer and we're a follower of Jesus Christ, Jesus was a Savior who was big on social justice. He looked at our hearts and he says, once you accept me, then I'm expecting you to do something. And so he gave each and every one of us the summons. We have been summoned by him, called by him. He knows our name. He calls us into right relationship with him. And then he says, you need to do something for somebody else. First, we need to tell them about Jesus Christ if we're Christian believers. We're expected to spread the word of Jesus Christ, the gospel, the news, the good news. That's number one. Number two, we need to then say, Lord, use me. And then when he decides to use us, we need to get up and go do something. Find something to do to glorify God and to strengthen our neighbors. Amen. Because God expects that of us. And the song, the summons says, will you come and follow me? I could hear Jesus saying this word. Would you come and follow me if I but call your name? Jesus is calling your name today, somebody's name somewhere. Will you go where you don't know and never be the same? Will you let my love be shown? Will you let my name be known? Will you let my life be grown in you and you in me? Jesus is asking, will you come and follow me? Will you leave yourself behind if I but call your name? Jesus is calling our name today. Will you care for cruel and kind and never be the same? Would you risk the hostile stare? Should your life attract a scare? Would you let me answer prayer in you and you in me? Jesus is calling us, and he's calling us by name. He says, will you love the you hide if I but call your name? Will you quell the fear inside and never be the same? Will you see the faith you've found to reshape the world around through my sight and touch and sound in you and you in me? And then we answer, Lord. Lord, your summons echoes true when you but call my name. Let me turn and follow you and never be the same. In your company I'll go where your love and footsteps show. Thus I'll move and live and grow in you and you in me. When God calls, that's what we say. We don't know what the future holds. For Apostle Paul told the church at Corinth, he says, or do you not know that your body is what? He says first, but anyone united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. When we're united with him, we become one spirit. And he says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, which you have from God, and that it's not your own. So once we say yes to God, yes to Jesus, we surrender our will and our way. We surrender our very body. And then we follow him. We follow him for our personal life. And we follow him. We follow him to build the kingdom of God here on earth, so that his will be done and his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Will you follow him? Will you say yes? Will you say, like the songwriter says at the lake shore, Lord, you have come to the lake shore, looking neither for wealth or wisdom. And yes, I will follow you. I will follow you, Lord. I say today, for those who are listening, if you do not know Jesus Christ in the pardon of your sin, the first thing you have to do is to say yes to him. When he calls your name, when he says come, you say yes to him. And then he will tell you what he needs for you to do for him. And he will do it through you, and he'll do it with you. In Christ's name, amen.